We'll wait a minute for Scott. Okay, before we get started, please turn off all cell phones. And if you are going to speak, please sign your name, address, and email address on the sign-in sheet at the podium. And please be sure that you write legibly. Speak loud and clear into the microphone. When you speak, state your name and address for the audio record. Each person speaking during the items from the audience section will have 3 minutes to comment. And hold all applause so as not to interrupt the progress of the meeting. And now I'll call the June 1st, 2015 meeting to order, Conceptual Design Conference for the Main Street Mixed Use Project. Is there a roll call person?
Okay. Carolyn Adams?
Here.
Tim Olson?
Here.
Nolan Morgan?
Here.
Brad Brown?
Here.
Scott Russer?
Here.
Dave Russell?
Here.
Susan Bush?
Here. Okay, and would someone like to move to approve the minutes of the March 2nd, March 16th, and April 6th meetings?
Move approval of all three. I have one question.
Yeah.
On the March 16th, the Potala Village, did the fact that there are not addresses for any of the public that addressed us, is that an issue for later their rights to...
No, it won't.
It doesn't. Okay.
Not an issue.
Not an issue. I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Okay, and tonight I believe it's just the Main Street Mixed Use Project Conceptual Design Conference that we have in the agenda. But before we get started, are there any requests from the audience or on topics unrelated to this project? Okay, then let's go ahead and get started with the staff presentation.
Okay. All right, thank you. Tony Levitt, representing the City of Kirkland Planning Department. So we're here to do a conceptual design conference for the Main Street Mixed Use Project. The subject property is located at 151 3rd Street. It's bordered to the west by Main Street, Park Lane to the north, 3rd Street to the east, and an alley to the south of the property. The subject property currently contains a vacant building, most recently used as an antique mall, and a parking lot currently being used as a public pay lot. The applicant is proposing to construct a new mixed-use project that will consist of ground floor retail tenant space and a residential lobby space, with four floors of market-rate apartment units above. Parking is proposed within a ground floor and below-grade parking structure, currently being accessed from Main Street. The exact number of residential units parking and the size of the retail space is unknown at this time due to the conceptual nature of the project at this time. It's just an overview of the steps that will be involved with the Design Review Board approval and city approvals. It's a Google Street View of the existing conditions on the site. The first picture is taken from the northeast corner, which shows 3rd Street on the right-hand side, and the transit center here with the Heathman Hotel sitting back here. There's obviously the site. This other picture is from the northwest corner, which shows Main Street here and Park Lane here. The existing Park Lane right now is improved. The improvements were installed with the Kirkland Pump Station, which was this project right here. They installed a majority of these improvements around here, including paving this area. As of Friday, you can see what has occurred west of this intersection back here. This shows the new paving that has been installed along Park Lane, and that is going to be continued down into this area. So they are finishing that up as we speak. Here's the neighboring zonings and the applicable height limits. The subject property is a one zone is a 1B CBD 1B zoning with a 55-foot height limit. I'll just go briefly over some of the key zoning regulations. As I noted, permitted uses in the zone include but are not limited to retail, restaurants, office, and stacked dwelling units. Office and residential uses may not be located on the ground floor or structure unless there is an intervening retail use. The DRB does have the authority to allow residential lobbies on the ground floor subject to specific design guidelines. Additionally, there's a upper story setback requirement. I outlined all the specifics in the staff report, but just summary. Along 3rd and Main, within 40 feet of the right-of-way, all stories above the second story shall maintain a average setback of 10 feet from the property line. Along Park Lane, within 40 feet of the right-of-way, all stories above the second story shall maintain an average setback at least 20 feet from the property line. The applicant does show a preferred design concept in their packet, and this would require a reduction of the upper story setbacks through provision of public open space. The DRB is authorized to allow a reduction required of the required upper story setbacks by no more than 5 feet, subject specific criteria outlined in the staff memo. I went over the height, which is 55 feet overall height. Additionally, there is a ground floor height requirement of 15 feet. And finally, sidewalks. 3rd, Park Lane, and Main Street are designated as pedestrian-oriented streets. The zoning code requires a minimum of 12-foot sidewalk with an average width of 13 feet along the entire frontage of the subject property. The final sidewalk configuration will be approved through the design review board process. In the staff memo, I outlined a couple of the key discussion points. It's just for reference. Some of the things that we'll look at is obviously scale of the project, key discussion thing, what are the key advantages of the project, identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing. Possible techniques include vertical and horizontal modulation, corner treatment, and roof forms. Additionally, we'll want to look at pedestrian orientation. Some of the key points, how does the proposed massing location structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment? What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces at street level, i.e. Plazas, outdoor dining, etc.? What are some of the key pedestrian connections, and how does the project engage pedestrians? Finally, we'll want to look at landscaping. Obviously, with this site, there's not going to be a whole lot of landscape buffer areas or anything like that. It's going to be mostly landscaping in and around the building. So what are the opportunities for landscaping and open space on the subject property? So tonight's action would be to provide feedback on how the design guidelines found the pedestrian-oriented guidelines apply to the proposed developments, and determine what models, drawings, perspectives, etc., the applicant should provide at the design response conference. And with that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. And now would the project applicant please like to come up?
My name is Mark Stein. I'm with Johnson Braun Architects. With me today are Diana Keyes, Director of Housing, Johnson Braun Architects, and Mel Easter and Roby Snow, our landscape architects from LA Studio. I think Tony did a pretty good, actually introduced the project for the most part. This slide essentially shows the maximum building envelope. There are no setbacks on the ground floor. And then as he described, we have setback averaging on the 3rd through 5th floor. This again shows the site context for the project site. I'm going to go back. So, development objectives. The soil conditions in the area are going to prohibit a lot of deep excavation. It would require construction costs would go up exponentially as we go deeper. So one of the objectives is to keep the parking at just what is required for the development. And one of the things that that is driving is there's no current plan for restaurant use. So the main floor will be primarily retail. We do have a residential lobby that we're proposing on that floor as well. So overall, the proposals for four-story apartment project over one floor of retail, and the back side of that main floor is slated to be parking. So site features. So one of the other conditions that we've run into or exist on the site is there's a piece of property along the alley that is a separate parcel. So that also limits what we can do from a development standpoint along the south property line. We have to treat that essentially as though another owner owns that. So we have the same limitations as would apply to a building right on a property line. So that is not considered like a right-of-way as what we have on Park Main. The small portion of the alley right here across from the Heathman. So similar projects in the area to the south. We have Merrill Gardens, the 101 building, the Heathman Hotel, which is across the alley, so south facade, Kirkland Central. And then we have some photos here of the alley behind the Heathman. You can see this picture. They have generally services along here. The alley is narrow. It's only 16 feet wide. And here you can see the cars that are parked here on this other parcel. And one of the we had a meeting with planning, and one of the things that we discussed is the location of the garage access. And as Tony pointed out, we were planning on having garage access off of Main, and primarily that's due to the narrow width of the alley requiring this to be one way. And with the transit center over here on the east side, entering the project to that alley or exiting from that alley, regardless of which direction one-way traffic winds up being, would create quite a bit of an impact. It would be difficult with site conditions coming up the alley for cars leaving or entering the site around the buses and also vehicles traveling up 3rd Street.
So that's not proposed in the first option?
Yeah, so the first option we looked at doing that.
But it doesn't subsequently.
Yeah, so the first option we looked at that, and that was we started having a discussion about if it makes sense to have essentially all of the parking access from that alley, and the decision was to avoid the alley with the vehicle traffic and actually have the alternate access off of Main.
So is that a city decision or?
We met with the planning department. Typically, the requirement is that it's be off the alley, but in this situation, it's a really difficult situation to work with. So we met with the planning department and came up with this alternate proposal to come off of Main. I'm really certain that we also have the traffic department has agreed that that's an acceptable location as well.
And we have had a couple meetings on that with the applicant and amongst city staff looking at the best options. So just to understand the full squeeze is on the, obviously it can't happen at the transit center side on Main Street. The very, very, very strong preference from staff is to not have access happen on Park Lane given the new improvements that are going in, and to have that be the pedestrian street. Alley access, because really you have three or more property owners who are involved in that, and for two-way access to work would require dedications to widen that out significantly. So that's really pinched, which leaves Main Street, we think, as the best or most viable alternative.
But the Heathman is served by that alley, solely by the alley.
Yeah, and a lot of their traffic is valeted into the garage, so it's they've made it work over time with, I think the alley is technically one way eastbound, so you drop off in front of the Heathman, circle around, come down Main Street and up the alley and into the garage, so that circulation pattern seems to work okay for the hotel.
So we're proposing to use the alley essentially for service, so we have trash pickup back there and keep basically back a house, back a building along that short segment of the alley. Because really we only have, the lot is 300 feet east to west, and we only have this last 100 feet. The rest of this we cannot do anything along because of that property being owned by a separate entity. Tony had mentioned the request for reduction in the setback averaging. The part of our proposal is to have an open space plaza off the corner of Main and Park right in this area. And we would use some of the area for that to offset that reduction. We've come on a couple of different, variations along the front of that. But we're not, but believe the code can allow a reduction up to 5 feet, and we're proposing significantly less than that, so we're not over by much. And the amount of open space that we have on the plaza greatly exceeds the amount of reduction that we'd be asking for. So among the other public amenities, the open space along Park and Main, and then also a water feature and memorial statue, the statue is at the request of the land seller, and that will also go in this open plaza right on the corner of Park and Main.
Could you repeat that? I didn't hear what you said.
Which part? The
statue.
Statue. Yeah. So the plan is this plaza, this open plaza on Park and Main.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, there'll be a water feature and a memorial statue there, and trying to basically the idea is that Park is becoming this even more pedestrian-oriented street, so we want to make that a part of our project and have that connectivity from the not only the retail space but also the residential aspect of it. So this is just the existing survey. Height limits, basically calculating height limits from the midpoint of the surrounding right-of-ways. We're not asking for, we're under the height limit. These are some existing projects that Continental Properties has developed. Kirkland Central, which is just up the street. 4th and Central, which is in the other direction. And then Johnson Brand, also part of Kirkland Central. And then some other projects that we've done in the greater area. So next I'll turn it over to Diana to go through the design concepts.
Hi, Diana Keys, Johnson Braun. Do you need me to state the address?
I think that's for people who are coming up to speak.
All right. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure. Of the projects that we've included here, we've worked with this development team as well on several projects, Kirkland Central being one that's very close to the site. We've also worked with them on Ballard Place in Seattle, and we have a project currently under construction with them in Ballard as well, which I didn't include because it was a much more contemporary building. But we have a wide variety of experience for this type of housing, mixed-use housing, in both market rate and affordable housing. And these samples represent both affordable and market rate. And the first concept we're going to show is where we started with our thoughts, and we show a progression through to our preferred scheme. This concept is essentially a U-shaped building, double-loaded corridor. We have a small plaza on the corner of Main and Park. The upper floor setback pretty well follows the guidelines as required a basic 10-foot setback on Main and 3rd, and a 20-foot setback at Park Lane. We have retail along the frontages. The setbacks allow us to provide a large private residential terrace on the upper level, and also on the back side in a courtyard that will have good sun exposure. Just quickly in plan, this one had retail parking and guest parking off of Main. It also had residential parking off of the alley, and we talked through that process and the discussion of this really not being what's best for the site with access points. The parking garage is screened from the primary pedestrian-oriented streets with retail, and we had our residential lobby located at the northeast corner of the property. Step back really quickly. So the advantages that we see with this project or this concept is that it meets the setback requirements. It provides opportunities for large outdoor spaces for the residents, as well as a corner plaza for the pedestrian-oriented space. And it really maximizes the street-level uses for commercial uses. The challenges with this is that one is the access from the alley, which we've already talked about. Two is that because of the deep setbacks, where it's difficult to meet the development objectives of unit counts and size of units, the net rentable area. And the building corners, you know, we have some very great opportunities for building corners on the corner of Main and Park and 3rd and Park. And these are really underdeveloped. They're not expressing that significance of the building corners. And it also has a fairly long facade. So that led us to our next scheme. This scheme we are calling a key-shaped scheme. It kind of looks like a key if you look at it. Also a double-loaded corridor with units. But what we've started to develop here is pulling the northeast corner forward to create a stronger corner. And then creating more corner opportunities for units, which will provide better views to the surrounding areas and start to really define some of the corners of the buildings. The plaza is still here at the corner of Park and Main. It's slightly larger. And with that slightly larger plaza, we're starting to be able to vary the amount of modulation that we see on the building. We're not just taking the kind of prescriptive building setbacks. We're starting to sculpt the building to create, you know, this pushing forward and this pushing back. This gets us closer to meeting the development goals. Plan. You can see the plan is similar to what we've shown before, except that parking access is only from Main. We will have at some point a transition to screen or to separate the retail guest parking from the secured residential parking down below. The retail also along the street, we're showing the residential lobby in the same spot. We have the same large terraces, both on the north and the south sides of the buildings. The advantages we see to this scheme is that we are creating a stronger corner massing presence for the building. We have a varied building facade. We have some more modulation. The challenges are we still have a fairly weak corner on Park and Main. The building still feels like it's stacked on top of a podium. This scheme isn't quite integrating the upper level and the lower level to the streetscape. So that led us to our next scheme, which is our preferred scheme, Concept 3. You see that it's also a key-shaped scheme, but we've been able to really sculpt the massing and modulation of the building much more. And how we're able to do that with the upper level setback is creating a much larger plaza on the corner. So with that plaza, we're able to have that offset with our average upper level average building setbacks. So we have on the corner of 3rd and Park a well-defined building corner. It comes all the way down to the streetscape. On Main and Park, we also have a very well-defined building corner, also extending down to the street. We're able to offset, so we're looking at both horizontal and vertical modulation of the scheme, creating a level 3 transition for scale adjacent to the plaza, as well as to some of the lower scale buildings to the west. In this scheme as well, we've moved the residential lobby to this corner, and we feel that that will help activate this plaza. So not just activated during business hours for the commercial uses, but at all times of the day, people will be coming and going into that residential lobby. It'll also help with the marketability and leasing of the apartment units. Let's see. Some of the challenges for this facade are we still have some, even though the long facades are shorter, we still need to start looking at how we're breaking down some of the massing of these facades and how we're dealing with roofline massing. So again, this is showing just some plan. We have two retail groupings at the corners where they make the most sense from a marketing standpoint, and the lobby accessing from the plaza, parking from Main Street, and then the large terraces for the residents on either side. This next slide shows how we're starting to take that massing, our preferred concept massing, and starting to develop it further to meet the City of Kirkland design guidelines. So we are looking again at developing prominent corner features that bleed down to the street and down to retail entrances. That's happening on both corners. Looking at the horizontal transition of materials and building scale. So trying to create a three-story brick building massing and scale along Main and Park. The large public plaza space, which will contain the memorial fountain and sculpture. Identifying that that plaza area with our residential lobby. Creating varied roof lines. So again, that one spot in the middle. So we're creating a two ends and a middle, defining those architecturally. In the middle, we've further broken that down with varied roof lines to create three vertical bays. Use of overhead weather protection for our pedestrian-oriented streetscapes. Large areas of transparency and building entrances on our pedestrian-oriented streetscapes. This is the view looking on 3rd with the transit center. I think this is a pretty important view to really look at how viable this corner is for commercial uses. The existing transit shelters are very close to our to the property line and to our building. So we are looking at primarily focusing our commercial retail space on the corner, still maintaining a storefront glazing for pedestrian orientation, and as we move towards the back of the building where we have the parking uses behind there, looking at ways that we can look at those blank walls, recessed brick, still providing interest at that streetscape level. Use of balconies also to add scale, pedestrian scale. This is the side of the building that's facing onto Main. Again, this is our parking entry off of Main, extending our storefront frontage and openings all the way to that garage entry. And then, even though this is garage frontage, still looking at how we can make it work with that pedestrian-oriented streetscape, with how we treat the brick, how we treat louvers and such along this frontage. Now, this is just really a diagrammatic section, but it's really to show a couple of key things. One is what Mark touched on before, is the cost of excavation with the high water table and the low bearing capacity for our soils. So we're really needing to really push up our parking garage as much as possible. The first floor retail space, 15-foot minimum height per zoning. The upper level setbacks, this is the line of the typical average setback, and how we're some areas are deeper and some areas are shallow with how we're averaging those setbacks. Here we are, and this is a diagram, setting our building back from the property line to provide that wider sidewalk as required by code. And this site is just showing how we're using the podium level on top of the parking garage to create a large terrace areas for our residential uses. And with that, I will transition to Roby Snow of LA Studio to walk through the landscape plans.
Roby Snow with the LA Studio Landscape Architects. A lot of this will just kind of be recap. We've kind of touched base pretty much already on what we're doing with the plaza and the street scene all the way around. Is, you know, we're having the 12-foot walk or 13-foot average along Park Lane and coming around to where the bus shelters are. And what we're proposing to do is to really try to support and celebrate this whole street scene improvement that's going on right now along Park Lane by bringing that paving pattern and material right into the our plaza, right up to the building, and expanding that whole look and feel to give a really nice pedestrian space. And, you know, that we're showing our memorial fountain and sculpture there. These entries will be accessible entries to the residential lobby and the commercial entries, with accessible routes, you know, to public transit and out to the plaza area and on to the remainder of the downtown area. As far as the landscape goes, it's fairly minimal. It's a pretty urban look and feel. We'll have some freestanding planters along the building. And, you know, these are existing proposed street trees. We'll be adding another tree to kind of complement that whole street tree canopy look and feel. And we'll touch base on these terraces. So this is the second level north terrace, which is a private 6 units. And, you know, it's fairly just, like I said, it's a private. So there is a minimal amount of landscape improvement, some hardscape for them to enjoy outdoor uses. And they also have access up to the rail so that they can, you know, peer over and see what's going on in the street for festivals and different events that are going on. On the south side is, similarly, there's some private patios with some raised planters and some screens so that there's a little bit of privacy between units. And there's a public amenity space here with, you know, potential outdoor kitchen and pet areas, and all expressed fairly nicely with some nice site furniture and ground plane treatments and other features to really enliven those terraces. I think that's really, I just wanted to recap on what's been talked about before. I don't know if there's any questions on the landscape, but I think that's a good overview of how we trend to want to treat these spaces. Thank you.
The last slide is just it's just kind of a preview of where we're headed with the design and the materials. So we are looking at quality materials with a fair amount of brick, up to 3 levels of brick in some locations, as you've seen. And then fiber cement panels and fiber cement lap siding, metal fabrications for decks and canopies, and entry trellis statements. We're also looking into the opportunities of using wood for some of the soffits under hidden under the balcony areas and under the extended cornices, just to bring a touch of warmth to this kind of very warm color palette we're showing. Other than that kind of concludes our presentation. If you have any questions, feel free to ask.
So a logical concern, and you mentioned it, is the sheer length of the building. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you could comment on you've got an opportunity to have almost split the building up visually from this side by just shifting, the middle or part of the middle section south. You know, have you thought of anything like that? I understand that there are internal things that change, but there's a rare opportunity here to really.
So we have really looked at how to break up the length of the facade, and what we are trying to do again is create kind of this main street corner, which relates to the plaza, the middle that's relating to the terrace, and then this other corner that's relating to Third and Park. The concern with pushing this further south back is that we get a very large terrace on the front, which only has access to 6 units. And we really want to maximize the size of the terrace on the south side of the building and have that be a shared amenity for all residents. We feel like that's appropriate. We don't also don't want to push this back too far where now all of a sudden at the streetscape presence, you're really only perceiving this one story kind of terrace level. So we really were, you know, we acknowledge the length of that facade and we're trying to break it as we're shown with into 3 different parts. And I guess in a more subtle way.
Other questions from the board members?
I do. Okay, could you review for us? One of the articles that was brought up is that you were asking for a small variance and you increased the open space in the plaza. Can you review where the variance is and then how much open space we gained?
And then to add to that, is it only the first scheme that conforms without the variance, or do 2 of them conform without the variance?
I'm going to have Mark touch base on some of the zoning calculations.
So the only the first one, yeah. So the first scheme is essentially in compliance with the averaging. It's fairly flat, and then it bleeds off the corner here. For the angle and those, so there's a little bit of push pull that goes on with those.
So is that 20 feet though in the
yes
the longest section?
Yes, 20 feet. Correct. Yeah, it's right at the 20 foot average. And then as we developed this, we were trying to maximize the footprint and the development. So we brought the east end forward, greatly reducing the setback there. And then we started pushing back a little bit more on the west end, and the middle is back a little bit.
So this is greater than
20. Right. And then we're pushing it back there. This is pretty close to the average as well. But then the third scheme.
So when you say average, you're saying that you've taken that 20 feet and you're saying
right
over the course of it, we can go plus minus.
Right. So the way the code reads is you take that 20 feet and you multiply it by the length of the frontage and then multiply that by the number of floors. So just from a sheer volume perspective, the preferred scheme, it encroaches on that by, I think the maximum allowed is 5 feet. And I don't have the exact number. We've been kind of pushing and pulling on these things as things develop. So instead of like continuing to crunch that number over and over again, we know that we're under that 5 feet. We're probably maybe only 1 foot or 2 into it. But then the area that we have at the plaza, you're allowed to count both floors. So the plaza's open to the, you know, it's an open plaza all the way up. And because the setback only starts at the third floor, you get to exchange, or you can, you know, allowed to exchange basically 2 times that area for a setback. So we're well under the amount of area that's in the plaza with what we'll be asking, and we're also well under the maximum allowed to exchange. And we have the same thing going on Main Street to some degree. It's a little bit closer than 10 feet, but still it's well within both of those parameters.
The other item that's happening on Main Street is for the minimum sidewalk width that our building
right
is set back
right
from the property line.
Yeah, on this scheme, we've pulled that back to allow the full 13-foot average along Main Street for the sidewalk. It just held the whole building back as well.
And Park Lane, where you're taking the sidewalk under the building, is that correct? You're using that.
For a portion of that. Yeah,
is
just
it more than the 33% that code allows?
It's probably about half, maybe, because it's just that section that you can see where it protrudes out. Right. Yeah, it starts from here to here, so the terrace hangs out over the sidewalk, but then at the corners, starting at the plaza, here. And here, the entire building is set back.
Mm-hmm.
one. Okay, the tract of land that is the private property, is that just going to be used as parking in the future?
It's currently being used as parking for the adjacent building.
It's actually the bank property is the development that owns it. So it's not part of this project at all. It's a completely separate owner.
One of the questions I have about that, though, Jeremy, is that a developable piece of property?
Yes. It's
the alley's public, though.
It's owned by Banner Bank, and somehow their ownership was split by the alley historically. Mm-hmm. So it is this odd, what is it, maybe 18 feet wide?
It's 22 feet by 200 feet wide.
So in theory, there's a 20-foot development strip that I guess somebody could try to build something on in the future. It's
one of the concerns I have. You guys have identified that as having to be treated as a firewall. In the case, it was a party wall in the future. And I'm just wondering if it's viable to develop it, because that's certainly a restriction on what you can do on that property line. Just curious.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate for the impact it has on this property and on parking and access and everything, but I would guess in terms of how the building code will consider that property, that something in theory could be built there, and so that all related building codes would apply.
Well, could you
designing that one?
Would you relocate that part of the alley and take that piece that we're talking about and add it to the property to the south? I mean, use it that way?
I mean, if you had willing partners, you could maybe swap. I think that's what you're saying, is you can say, well, shift the alley over on that and swap the property over there.
The traffic flow on the alley would be, because it would have to jog that 22 feet at some point. It would be a pretty tough thing to...
An obvious question would be, is it possible to purchase that from them and provide them even more parking in your structure that they could... yours is going to be open public parking for that initial section, and it certainly could help your property to have a rectangle rather than that weird...
Yeah, that would be a question that the developer
would have. Okay. I understand it's... Yeah.
And what we've tried to do, and you can see that we're starting to do in this perspective view here, is acknowledging that there's no openings allowed on this portion is for the corridor. We've set that back enough for our fire separation distance so we can get a strip of windows here. And then just looking at how to modulate with the brick facade and recesses to create architectural interest. And then up above, looking at how we work with our panel reveals to create interest. Once we get past our units, that drops down to just our single level guardrail at our courtyard. And I think, and that's the parking garage. So I think it's appropriate response here to not have openings at that location. So it's really just the width of our units and our corridor. And we're working with that with modulation and materials and putting glazing where we can by setting it back from the parking lot.
Scott, did you have any more questions?
No, I'm good.
I've got one question. On the SketchUp massing models, the shoe boxes that represent units, are those the edges of balconies, or are those typically the edges of building face?
This is just showing the walls. We're not showing any balconies in the SketchUp model. And then if you start seeing the plan here, start seeing, in the SketchUp model, this is showing up as a flat facade. In plan, you start seeing how they're going to be modulated with the decks going in and out.
So back to the view that shows us all of the balconies, the vignetted preferred view, that one. So those balconies at the corner of Third and Park Lane, those are at property line then, effectively?
They extend over
the edges of
those, actually, yeah. They're within the four, even we can go 4 feet over the property line. And I believe the only place where we're close to that is on this corner because of the angle.
So the same way that the canopy is
they're shorter.
The right of way.
They're shorter than the canopy extends. So the canopy actually extends beyond those.
Into the right-of-way?
Right.
There. Okay.
Can you outline just around the building where you're proposing to go over the right-of-way?
Because yeah, we're not actually at the property line with any of the facade because of the setback.
Right. For the sidewalk requirement, they're on Main.
Well, yeah, and that as well, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you go back out over that sidewalk.
With the canopies and only the, really only the balconies that are at the corner of Main and Park. And it's primarily because of that angle, the property line's at a bit of an angle there. And the sidewalk actually flares out quite a ways at that corner, too, so there's lots of room.
So none of the building above goes over the property line, it's just the terrace goes back to the property line, just on that frontage on Park.
When you talk about property line, are you talking about the easement for the wider sidewalks or the today's property line?
Today's, yeah.
So we're setting back to the easement for the sidewalk and then coming back out. So we're really talking about the recesses that are occurring in here and coming back out at the terrace.
Right? Right.
Could you go back to the slide you had just a minute ago that showed the cross-section?
Yeah, the building section.
Yeah. So the street to the neighborhood, or to the property on the north, it's from your property line to the north would then be 64 feet. How wide is the street?
I think it's a 60-foot right of way. Is that right? I have to go back to the survey.
And is that 60
feet?
That
says 30
feet,
and 30, and then 30
and 30. Yeah. I'm fairly certain that's a 60 foot right. And because the other aspect of this is that the survey is basically out of date because they know where the property line is, but as far as the edge of the sidewalk until they finish improvements, we're sort of guessing.
And that's going to be a curbless improvement line, so there's not a there's going to be a line of bollards and the tactile warning strip to define that edge of sidewalk as opposed to a stepped curb.
Yeah, I had a few questions actually about Park Lane now and it getting developed to match the new part to the west. It's a two-way street in this section, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so then the Park Lane design, that's angle parking that's part of it on the...
That's part, yeah. What you're seeing, everything in the right-of-way is part of that proposed development that's under construction by the city.
And it's all curbless?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's, remind me now, 60 feet includes the sidewalks?
The 60 feet is...
I mean, I want to know, from building face of both properties that are developed right to the property line, what's the distance?
Right, so that's... the city will be putting in improvements over the next month or two. It goes from essentially from property line to property line. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that that's won't yield the full sidewalk width on this side.
Correct.
So that's where the easement and some additional sidewalk width is required of this project to supplement that.
So you can see the essentially property line.
That's in the neighborhood of 3 or 4 feet,
yeah,
small number?
Like 2 feet.
2 feet. Okay, so you see that line represents the property line, and then our building is set back from that property line.
So in fact, this actually shows it really well, because right here, we're actually can bump this back out because the sidewalk is now plenty wide now, 12 over the 12 feet, and certainly this is where our 13-foot average is, counting all this.
Other questions? questions.
I have another question. You'd mentioned the excavation increases exponentially as you get down there. And I understand you're maximizing the unit count. What's the tipping point? Can you lose some units and simplify the excavation and improve the building? I mean, what's above grade is not exponentially more expensive because it's just wood frame construction that's fairly easy to do. Where's the
parking actually for the units? It's like 1.3 per unit.
Plus so guest or something.
So losing a couple of stalls is not a huge deal. It's a bigger deal to try and put in a restaurant.
Right.
Because the parking is...
The 1 to 125.
Yeah.
And there has been some discussion at some of the early planning meetings about shared parking or off-site parking if a restaurant space were to be put in after. But right now the development objective is to not have a restaurant space because of the cost of going another level of parking.
And they're currently meeting the parking requirement? Are they exceeding it at all? Any of these
we're right at it.
Well, just to bring the subject up, it sounded like it was kind of dead on arrival, at least for this. I think you hashed it out, it sounds like, with the planning department, but there's really no opportunity to move the parking access into the alley like Heathman does.
We have over 200 stalls, and you would be basically asking all of the tenants and all of the guest parking to either enter in front of the buses or exit in front of the buses.
Which are going to block sight lines. I think it's just going to create a hazard.
I would imagine Metro would probably.
Okay, for the landscape architects, on your terraces, you were talking about having some minimal landscaping up there. Will any of it be visible from the street level?
Yeah, we have some small trees in those planters right there that will be visible. And I think it's some.
Can you come to the microphone, please?
Yeah, as I was saying, I think we have some small trees in these raised planters here, so those will be visible. And I can't remember if they were shown in the one of your models or something, but that's definitely the intention. That's kind of why those are pushed out a little bit. I kind of missed that slide. You know, we have a nice collection. It's a little bit premature, but a lot of it's ornamental natives and low water use, and so it's I think we've with a fairly nice plant palette, but that's definitely the intention on those planters on that north terrace along Park Lane.
And what about off the alley? Will some of those be visible?
We have a trellis there that we've planned to have, you know, some vines on that will be noticeable and helps, you know, buffer that public amenity space from the property to the south. And we're still in preliminary stages, but we can definitely take that into consideration and when we get to the final planting plan and work in some small patio trees into these raised planters. We do have, I do remember preliminary, we were looking at, you know, trying to create some privacy with these, for these patios by having small trees that would, I think, definitely be visible from the ground plane and from the property to the south.
Has the developer said pets yes, pets no?
Pets yes.
So is this AstroTurf? Is this?
No, we have a small pet exercise area right there. That's what that's planned for.
Okay. And the park across the street,
mm-hmm.
Of course.
Right.
Okay.
Other questions?
Yes, thank you. So in your when you're talking about the advantages of the different schemes, you talk about desired unit count, rentable floor areas, and I'm just curious if there are any city goals for this property or if that's referencing purely the development goals. And, for example, are you doing any affordable units in the mix?
So the goals that we are stating are developer objective goals.
Mm-hmm.
This is market rate housing, so they're not affordable as such units.
In terms of city goals, there's and the overall objectives and visions in the downtown plan about getting density in the right places, close to shop services, transit.
Sure.
That's a great spot. Our minimum densities, maximum densities here. We don't have affordable housing. We do have affordable inclusionary zoning for affordable housing throughout the city and density-restricted zones where there was something we could offer in terms of height or additional density, but because the downtown has been so sensitive about heights historically that we didn't have incentives we could offer that would legally allow us to require affordability.
Okay. And then also for your, you said that you don't think you'll do a restaurant because of parking needs, so what are the now, what are you thinking of for the retail space?
We've left that as kind of a generic retail space. The marketing folks will do their job and determine what's best, you know, to make a viable plaza space. You know, want to make sure the appropriate spaces are located where they should be, more active at the plaza, less active towards Third. But what specifically what those are, we haven't gotten to that point yet.
So no goals for big destination type retail, grocery store?
I know there's been some discussions with those, and again, it's going to be determined from the ownership group.
I missed the public amenity space. How is that accessed?
So there's this bump right here that you're seeing. This is the corridor on level 2. So you come out level 2 corridor and get to the amenity spaces.
Okay.
It's public in that
quotation mark.
Public, semi-public.
Yeah, semi.
All resident access only, as opposed to private patios.
And is there some the lobby use of a lobby on the retail level is something that's that the planning there's discussion about it. It's not automatic. Is that correct? Is there some restriction of size judgment about how big that can be?
Tony probably knows it's a guideline based system. Yeah. There's not an outright prohibition on it, but I think it's more about the
right.
Size, frontage, design features,
yeah.
Location that the DRB has authority over. I don't have that guideline in front of me.
I just want to know generally how that works because it's
we can provide more of an analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Again, right now the lobby is here under this kind of signage and raised emphasis area. Again, to provide active activity 24/7 through for the plaza of people coming and going.
Have you done any sun study of either the north or the south sides?
As developing the SketchUp model, it clearly allows you to see shade shadow studies. And that's why when we're looking at the courtyards, that courtyard on the south side will actually get a fair amount of sun until such time that that bank on the corner builds up. But at this point, it gets a fair amount of sun.
And the plaza in front of you?
That's north facing, so it's going to get limited amount of sun. Again, that was also part of the trade-off when we were talking about how big that terrace becomes and where to locate the resident amenity versus the private amenity. Yeah, we have a long property line that faces north. So,
other questions?
Just a real quick one is one of the photos shows the Heathman's dumpster looks like it's kind of hanging out into the alley just a titch. And I notice you're on your preferred scheme, you're proposing the little dumpster enclosure is kind of a third of the way down the ramp.
So ours will be tucked back from the alley.
Right, so is it at the descending ramp level, or is it?
That's a detail that we still need to work out, but one of the things we've been discussing is actually having it.
Oh, okay.
So they can be brought, because there's quite a bit of grade change there.
Right.
So as we develop that, we're not going down, and where exactly that happens, we'll have to put in some device to get those dumpsters to come to grade for a pickup.
So tenants take their individual garbage and recycling down there?
Yeah,
by
we have chutes.
Okay.
So each level has both a trash and a recycle chute.
Okay.
That goes down to the dumpsters.
And then waste management just wheels the dumpsters, or pushes them out, and then loads them from there.
Correct.
Okay. And that's not real steep yet in the alley at that point. It's starting to climb, but not...
I see it's starting to climb right here.
Okay.
And she showed on the preferred plan.
Well, I had a picture actually there. That's actually this picture right here. Kind of small. But the garbage truck is actually on our property backed up to the
I think just for ease of use now, because the alley is they're just using the open parking lot. But yeah, we'll need to look at that with the position of where our trash pickup is in the grade of the alley and get that all to marry up.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Okay, then I'm going to close this part of the questioning. And is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the project who hasn't? A chance. Okay, so let's begin the deliberations. You want to kick it off, Jim?
I'll kick it off, I guess. When I initially received the packet, I thought my packet had been misassembled because I didn't see three concepts. I saw one concept with variations on that concept, and it took me a while. It was kind of like looking in the back of the Highlights magazine at the waiting room, you know, find the 10 differences between these pictures. Looking at it in more detail and hearing tonight, I can see a lot of the rationale for it, but I guess I was looking for some concepts, different concepts that were not the key, not quite key on the you know schemes 1, 2, and 3. So I guess that's, and I understand that there's, you know, with the preferred scheme 3, that there will be lots and lots of massaging and playing with materials and ins and outs and this and that, but it's still the same concept 3 times. So that's in my initial, and I'll have more to say later on, I'm sure.
I'm wondering if when the city gives, it's our last two projects, we kind of run into the same boat where we got, and for years, it seemed like we did get 3 different concepts, and we could actually, you know, almost pick parts of different and give good feedback, and instead of the last two projects we've had, we've kind of like, well, we changed it a little bit here, and then we improved it here, and that's why this is the preferred. So I do agree on that. On the third preferred, I have a couple concerns. And so, and I think this is for the board, not the architects. First of all, I'm a little concerned on the, you know, the metro or the transit center. You know, they kind of brushed over it a little bit lightly, and that is a huge retail area for Kirkland, and I think closing it off just because it is part of the, I think I would hate to see that. I want to see retail all the way around the building. So I know it does go up to the parking. You're going to have parking on part of it. So that's my first major concern, is that the first floor is supposed to be retail, and that should be used to the plaza. I have major concerns about it because the building is so squared off there, and there is zero sunlight getting into the plaza. It is not very public friendly. And then you go right straight into where the lobby is. It's a very abrupt end. It's not what I would consider it a widening of the sidewalk. It's not a plaza, in my view. And design-wise, I think that needs to be looked at and worked. And, I mean, board, please, if you disagree, you can. Two, the upper story step-backs. I don't see any, and that is too long of a building not to have some step-back. And, again, a step-back is not a balcony to me. So, as part of our guidelines is that's one of our tools, is one that is a very long building, having some step back, a better modulation, something even at the corner that can let more sunlight. And really, there should be some corner relief there to allow sunlight into, if that's going to be a public space. I was going to suggest when we have them come back that there should be a sun study for different times of the day, because you also are planting trees in there that are going to increase the shade element of the plaza. I think also we need a perspective of how are the terraces going to look? Are we just going to have a wall of green that makes the building again look more, you know, provides privacy, but then, you know, I don't want to see an additional straight up and down. And I think that greenery is needed to soften the building up, especially in the terrace areas. So I would like to see how it's going to look with the trees from the street level. On the firewall going in the back in the alley, I think that there should be some kind of buffering, and even if it's a green wall or something, it shouldn't, because that is a very visible corner, especially coming in, you know, around the corner there you have Main Street. I just think that really I don't want to see just a brick wall there. It should be something that, even if it's, you know, wrought iron on the wall or a, you know, green wall or something growing on the wall, very narrow. I think that probably touches everything that I'm concerned of right now. But
I agree with Tim's comments, with Scott's comments. I would say that I think that this is a very challenging project to develop. I think that its location on Park Lane, which is probably has the most diminutive scale of the downtown. It's a part of the promenade from Park Place into the downtown. It's adjacent to our civic center, Peter Cook Park, and the library. And it's, as far as I've been able to tell, the largest building, the longest building proposed or built in downtown recently. If not the longest, very close. So there's a lot of challenges in developing this with an eye to its contribution to this pedestrian-oriented downtown. I'm a little distressed by, you know, advantages being listed as meeting development potential when I think that advantages should be to the public domain. And so I think there should be more attempt to find those advantages. That's my sort of soapbox speech. It's, you know, the downtown steps down, and Park Lane is right at the basin, base of that basin, and having the building rise up on the south side of that is really going to have an impact. There's a lot of talk in the materials about strong building corners and filling out the building corners, and I understand that as an urban design strategy in a fairly dense urban situation, but again, building up the building on those corners where everybody's used to those vistas down into the center, and building up the height towards Park Lane side, I think are I think there's, again, back to alternatives. I think there are alternatives that could be studied that maybe defer a little more to this center spine of the downtown. I'll hold off on a list of images that I think will help. But the other thing I'd say on that firewall side, it's really unfortunate. I mean, I know that you can't force someone to sell their property to you, but, you know, it's just such a shame. But there are things you can do on a zero lot line condition with the building code. You know, if you start to step back at 5 foot increments, you can start to get some windows in there, and you're touching on it with the end of that corridor. But perhaps there's a way to enhance that and get a little more something else on that wall, because unfortunately, even though you're designing for this building code requirement, chances are that blank wall is going to be there forever, and it's very visible from Main Street and Kirkland Avenue. So I urge you to look for those, for that, and you know, and then the south courtyard is obviously very beneficial to your residents, but it's causing, I think, a detrimental impact on the street. And again, it would be very nice to see some alternatives, some massing alternatives that turn that open space to the north side, for example, and just as a what if. I think that's it.
I mean, I think, I certainly have no disagreement with what anyone said so far. I mean, it's just overall, it's going to be a highly visible and therefore more challenging project to develop, because there's not really a backside to this building, especially when you're on Park Lane and Main Street. I mean, it's highly visible, and one of the, again, just to mention it again, it sounds like something it's not going to be easily overcome, but the so since it can't be overcome with parking access coming off of Main Street there, I think that's going to be another treatment that is going to be pretty impactful to the look of the building, since that entrance and exit is going to be highly visible. I like the choosing a design for that plaza that's that captures and complements some of the elements of the new Park Lane to capitalize on that. I would say for the plaza though, and I know this is a little early in the stages to be talking about it, but like Scott said, that abrupt wall there where the lobby would be makes it feel uninviting, and I also see in the plan view, between the water feature where it's placed and some sort of, whether those are just planters or what they are, it kind of makes that space feel even more closed off, inaccessible, and I think people are going to tend to stick to the sidewalk and treat that as a private space. And maybe with the activity of the lobby being there, that will buffer some of that, I'm not sure, but it'll be, when they come back, of course, we'll see more development of that. And also the statue they mentioned, I'm just, curious what that is going to be of and what will look like. So, and along that north wall, I think we've all hit on that it is a huge challenge to what to do to modulate that and to break it up. And it is a highly visible part of the building with the pedestrian-oriented park lane that it is now, especially with the improvements that have been made. And so at least there'll have to be a lot of focus on what materials, how they treat that to help break that up if actual modulation of the building is not practical. And to Scott's point too, he mentioned the balconies aren't really set back. And to me, they almost looked, it made it look even busier. It looked even more, these tiny little partitions, but they're all the same. And so maybe there's something that can be done there with the treatment of the railings and things like that to help break that up a little bit more. I think everyone else pretty much hit on any of the bigger items. That's all the more I had to add.
So people have hit on the fact that this is a key site in the downtown, and it's going to be a very visible site, and people are going to be watching what happens and very concerned and interested in what happens. And the notion that it might be the largest, longest building in the core is kind of critical. So it's going to require a lot of sensitive treatment. The comments about, I was attracted to the idea of the plaza. I didn't think about the sun not getting in there and how the questions of how useful that will be and how that's treated. And that's interesting. I certainly am going to be wary and watching that the full retail capability of the structure is used. I have had a concern right along about the whole idea of the setbacks was to allow a development downtown more than two stories, but preserve some kind of human scale. And the question then is, how wide is the street? And you know, so I'm going to want to see more cross sections in terms of this to see what kind of a tunneling effect there might actually be. So I'm interested in that, and that's why I sort of, I'm particularly interested in the initial workup of the design, the repetitive patterns in the full length of it. I find troublesome. I'm really hopeful that this structure will not appear, and I'm sure the architects share this, but I don't want to see 300 feet of similar structure. I mean, and to the window treatment, whatever it's going to take to break this up. There's a high bar here, because Park Lane to the west is a treasured part of the city, and people are going to notice this large building going in, and they've already seen the hotel. And you know, there's a lot of structures going in, and they're being done well. But this is going to be very visible, and it's got to be handled with care.
Well, I feel the same, I think, as a lot of the board. Specifically, I wanted to see some different concepts, where this more seems as concepts on how to, you know, create variations in the facade. It's not really building concepts. Even something as simple as taking concept 3 and mirroring it. So the public plaza is now on the north side. So, well, what about that? They could easily accommodate something like that. They talk about 24/7 activity with the lobby right there. What about putting the public, you know, plaza on the north side? Because a lot of people grill out there, you know, it's kind of a community space for the residents, so why not put them closer to the street rather than on the back side? I think that's something that they could do, you know, pretty quickly and easily for us. I'd just like to see some more ideas. They talk about building a strong corner, you know, next to the library and the parks. It's kind of an announcement. This is where downtown begins. There's something to be said about that, but what about also gradually coming up from the park, you know? So something like that would be another concept. I felt like this didn't offer me as much as I wanted to see. What they did present, I think, was very good. I think that they thought well about this third concept. I'd just like to see some more ideas. And I won't go on any further. I think everyone's pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have much to add. I think everybody's covered it really well. But just to reinforce, this is one of the most important streets in Kirkland, connecting, as Susan said, our civic center with, in some ways, the heart of the community. I mean, who doesn't go to Park Lane on a warm Friday night? That's where we hang out. And this is, as it's designed, is a contradiction to that. And it's a steep canyon, and it's really way too abrupt a transition from what we have now. So since we're all saying, I mean, I think we're completely in agreement on this, and I'm not sure that we can say we want concept 1, 2, or 3, I'm inclined to say we need to have another, you know, really look at the massing in greater detail, having taken this feedback home with you, and let's see it really respond to the community and not just the program. What do you think?
I agree. I'm very fearful with the third concept here that we are going to be in a canyon.
I would say if they're requesting, you know, to reduce setbacks or, you know, approach corner and have strong building corners, I'd like to see that street section that Dave talked about. I don't think there's any ground level
views. I think everything's from the third floor or higher. You know, if I'd like to, they did show, I think in the sites in one of the sections towards the end, they kind of have a dashed line showing their average setback line. I'd like to see that, but an image, you know, from the model saying, this is it with the setback, this is what we would like, and you can kind of see, all right, this is how our views are limited. Or we could say, oh, that's not that bad. We could give them that, you know. But right now, I haven't seen enough from how a person would interact with this building to me say, oh, yeah, sure, we can give you that setback reduction.
Yeah, it's got to be a trade-off that's worth, a viable trade-off, which I don't think any of us are convinced at this point that it is.
Well, in fact, I would say that I actually question the benefit of the plaza in this location, with Park Lane basically now is a two-block-long plaza,
yeah,
and the park there, and, you know, it's hard to say whether that warrants the decrease in setbacks. When I wasn't sure if you said this, Scott, or not. Were you thinking about maybe the plaza space being as a complement to the transit center?
No, oh, okay. I
don't think that's a bad idea.
It isn't a bad idea, especially with, you know, my concern was that when the presentation was going on, they said they had concerns with the, you know, transit area, so they wanted the retail mainly to focus on the other side, and I disagree with that. I think that I want to see strong retail all the way around the building.
Just a counterpoint. I don't mind the plaza right there. You're concerned about, you know, the activity. I think that you could solve that by moving it so the residential lobby isn't there, because they talk about 24/7 activity. Yeah, but it's really just kind of a glorified front porch for just the residents who will be going in and out on occasion. How many of those are there? But if there's retail or a restaurant right there, that's where people are really kind of activating in that outdoor space. If you don't live there, you don't have much reason to go into that plaza. So I think just by kind of shifting the lobby over, you know, left or right, put some sort of public amenity right there on the corner, I think that can help the plaza. But
I will say that I'm mixed on that, though. I think it's worth looking at multiple locations for the lobby. Yeah.
I was partial to the first and second concepts lobby. I thought that was a more successful location for it. And also, I have to say, I'd love to see a restaurant along there. I mean, that is what activates.
I know, I'm disappointed that there isn't retail. Something, especially to have plaza that can have tables in it instead of, I don't know, I have pretty deep concerns with the building as a whole, because it seems like this is it's a little bit one-sided towards development goals.
My initial reading on the packet when it arrived is it was really a weird title, Main Street Mixed Use on Park Lane in parentheses. It wants to be Park Lane Mixed Use on Main Street. Main Street in Kirkland doesn't exist. It isn't anything. Nobody knows what Main Street is in Kirkland. And at this thing, we get Main Street is an entry to a parking garage and a little tiny bit of retail. So it's more of a Park Lane project, and if that's the case, then it needs to really work much better on Park Lane. You know, talking about the plaza location, what about a plaza at the corner of 3rd and Park Lane? You know, instead of a building that's really sharp and hard-edged and, you know, massive at the corner, do the soap dish approach, or the bar of soap, and soften it and open up and evacuate an enormous corner there so that you get views from the library and from, you know, that it isn't... number one, it's going to be cutting off a huge amount of light to the pump station and the buildings there. Nothing's ever going to be taller than it is now at the park, at the library, at the pump station. So why does that corner have to be so massive? The people are going to have great views no matter what they do from, you know, 20 feet back, 30 feet back at that spot. It's, you know, Park Lane is a gorgeous... the west of Main Street is going to be a plaza the entire length of it, and you could continue it with the sidewalk width and then open it up big at the corner with a nice public plaza. not unlike was done at the, you know, Kirkland Ave and Lake Street with the bank building there. That's a really nice evacuated corner that works quite well. Mm-hmm. It's got minimal stuff in it, but it always gets used, and it, I think, is a successful public plaza at a major intersection, which this is going to be as well. So,
do we need to send them back for more design conference, or how do we proceed from here?
Well, I think we need to see more massing studies, and if the architect and developer feel comfortable in developing the other pieces further, I'm okay with that, but show us how it works for the public as a public amenity as well as for the program. So I would almost leave that up to them. What do you all think?
I don't want to send them with feedback saying, you know, right now, because I think there are concerns about where the plaza should be, the corners of the building, the stepping back of the upper stories.
The lack of retail on Third.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we do need to have...
The recess on the south rather than stepping back on the...
Well, I agree with that. I was only thinking we could add sun studies and some sections through some north-south sections at minimum through adjacent properties too and streets, because I think that's going to be really important. And maybe a site plan showing more of the pedestrian features. And I also think that the landscaping could just be beefed up in general. It's dry. So at the beginnings of more of a landscape plan. So I would say whichever the developer and the applicant wanted to do. But we should definitely see massing in the concept.
I also have written down, besides the other types of drawings that you've listed, is pedestrian views from Peter Kirk in the library, for basically all of the bordering streets, to show context.
I don't know if we're giving him a thumbs up though on.
I don't believe we're giving them a thumbs up on three, mm-hmm. on any of the schemes. So okay, then we'll come back again with the conceptual design conference.
I'm happy with that. I would also request the SketchUp model in the adjacent properties, instead of just doing the fuzzy Google map, you know, Google Earth map, is actually get some even simplified 3D aspects of that instead of the translucent boxes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the entire Bank of America is available on SketchUp from the other architects. I don't know if that's considered public, not public property, but certainly it's worth asking. And then obviously the pump house and the Chinese restaurant and, you know, that building is very easy to model, so we can get a little bit better context and feel, so that the ground level shots and these overhead shots have a little bit more context rather than just the library. That's a fairly simple one to do.
I had one other note here too, is that to actually quantify the varying setbacks, because I think maybe having a comparison of overlaid comparison of what the zoning potential is and dimensioned notches, essentially, where you're going in and out, because it's hard to quantify.
Help highlight where the give and take is.
Yeah. Right.
So do we make a motion that we ask the applicant to come back, or can I just?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody like to move?
So move.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so we'll have another take at it. Do you have any questions for us?
No. So let's just, I just kind of want to go through and make sure we got everything that we requested for them. Come back on with the new concept design. So I got that they wanted to look a little bit more at the first floor retail along Third. Looking.
I would say, you know, a good study of it all the way around. Okay. Where does it start? Where does it stop? Where are potential entrances to the retail?
Okay. And where are the blank walls?
Okay. And looking at that as kind of going around the building, looking at that corner facing the park, what can be done there, as far as treatments, step backs, really focusing more along Park Lane as far as looking at, is there a possibility of moving that public amenity for the residents to the north of the building, look at different ideas with that. Let's see here, looking at a sun study, just figuring out what's going to feel like in that north plaza. Also off that north plaza, looking at maybe doing a retail, moving residential away from that. What are the opportunities there? Let's see here. That southwest corner, looking at treatments of that, looking at, because there are ways to get more openings along that, a green wall, other types of treatments along that facade. Let's see here. As far as the setback reduction, how does that, quantifying that, take a look at those, what each, the various options are, what's the give and take on those with the plaza. Let's see here, additional massing models, looking at offsite buildings, how it relates to those offsite buildings. Anything else?
Pedestrian views.
Okay, pedestrian views as you enter from the park and park
land. Did you list sections, street sections?
Yeah, nope, missed that one too. Sorry. Street sections, comparing the right of way to the building, how that relates on all the facade or all the frontages.
And I would love to have the applicant explore with the city very aggressively how we can achieve some sort of shared parking or acknowledgement that there's massive amount of parking available across the street that would allow restaurant use on this instead of just all retail. I've lived in Kirkland for many, many, many years, and I have never not been able to park in the parking garage under the library, not once in the evening.
I've had trouble.
Have you really?
But I don't remember when it's.
No, I never have, and I do it, and I go walk to Lynn's Bistro, or I walk to all sorts of places. Why can't I walk across the street to a great little restaurant right here on the corner, and the city not stick to the 1:125 ratio because there's parking available? There's a transit center right there.
I was going to say, just, this is transit-oriented development. If you ever had it, it's right there at the transit center.
Advantages. Unfortunately, it's not shared parking because it's sharing implies you're sharing with another private ownership, I would assume. But if there's any way at all for the city to aggressively work with the applicant to somehow let restaurant use happen, I think that would be a strong positive.
Just to not, I'm sorry, my back hurts, so I had to stand. I wasn't trying to run away. That's a really heavy lift, so I don't want to set high expectations for it. We can't gift public funds or public facilities to one individual to benefit one individual property owner. So when the applicant mentioned shared parking earlier, is there an opportunity, given the residential peak demand versus the retail or restaurant peak demand, that within the building you can share?
To get through the gate.
Or are there other projects nearby who have similar opportunities to share that peak parking demand? So I think we can look at that, but I think the notion that the city has something to throw into that mix is probably not realistic.
Shoot.
We're going through a study right now. City Council is trying to find where can we eke out more public parking in downtown. So for the city to create more public supply and then have that eroded immediately by one individual development is, again, a heavy lift.
Okay.
So some of the projects on the north side of Central have had to address similar issues about the long facades and things, and just might be something to take a look at are how they've addressed some of those, the breaking up of the length and all that in the canyon idea.
Well, then I will say that I don't remember the name of you guys' project with the on the other side of the Heathman. What's the name?
Kirkland Central.
Yeah, Central. I think that's a really well done project.
Yeah. And me too.
It does a great job of modulating and setting back and all those things that we're looking for. So and I think the materials used there are really nice as well. So it's a great example. Mm-hmm. Good design. So.
And on that one too, is there? If I remember just looking at it, there's the they have their public for residents, the public area on the north side of that building. Or am I misremembering that? I can find the picture of it now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Podium level.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so maybe there's an opportunity to explore that here as well, just like we were talking about earlier. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. And when he has some parting shots. Okay, then. Someone would like to.
Sorry. Are there any sustainability goals for the project? Are you pursuing any sort of built green or anything?
Okay. Thank you very much. Somebody like to adjourn our meeting for the night?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned.